The following lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg was recorded live and is presented to you free of charge by Galilei Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galilei Institute is a non-profit organization and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org or email us at inner@inner.org.
The first parasha of the third book of the Torah is called by the very same name as is the book in its entirety, Vayikra, which is the first word of the book, which means Hashem called and He called. That after the conclusion of the tabernacle and the glory of Hashem descending into the tabernacle, as we discussed in reference to the two parashat Vayikel Pekudei, so now Hashem calls Moshe Rabbeinu to enter, makes a path possible for Moshe Rabbeinu to enter into the tabernacle. Before being called, he doesn't enter by himself. Our sages say that this expresses his humility and his derech eretz, the fact that he's just a very, very good person, that he doesn't enter before he is called to enter. But the fact that this is the very first word of the book, and he called, there must be something essential that relates this verb to call and to the whole content of the book. Now the general content of the whole book, which begins in this parasha itself, are the laws of the sacrifices. So after the tabernacle has been constructed, so now the service, we have to begin to serve Hashem in the way that Hashem Himself commands us how to serve Him in His home, in His house, which is the tabernacle. Well, the basic way to serve Hashem in the tabernacle is the service of the sacrifices. The verse which immediately follows the first verse of God calling upon Moses to enter begins to set the scene now for all the service of bringing sacrifices to the temple and to the tabernacle. And the way it begins is when a man brings a sacrifice from you to God. Adam ki akriv mikem korban Hashem. Those are the words in Hebrew. And the way that it reads, this is a very important observation point that is made. It doesn't say when one of you brings a sacrifice. It says when a man brings a sacrifice from you, which implies that the sacrifice is a person not just bringing an animal or some other physical sacrifice which is different, which is other than himself. But even though the sacrifice that he brings isn't indeed an animal or a bird or something else, the thought that he has to have in his heart when he brings the sacrifices, that he's sacrificing himself, is that he's bringing himself, and from himself, from his own essence, he's sacrificing a part of himself, or his whole self, to God. You know that there are different types of sacrifices. There are offerings. There's a fire offering, which the entire animal is sacrificed, is burnt up, a burnt offering to God. There are other offerings which just a part is burnt, and a part is given to the priest, and another part are sacrificed, and a part is given both to the priest and to the person that brought the sacrifice. There are various types of sacrifices. In accordance with each type of sacrifice, so does the person bring either a part or a whole of himself to God and give himself to God. Another very important thing is that the word sacrifice is the root in Hebrew which means to draw near to. Also implying very, very, whenever one reads the words in the Hebrew, it's very, very clear that the sacrifice means to come near. meaning that the whole purpose of the tabernacle is to give us the ability to come near and close to our Creator, to God. And as we discussed in last week's portion, is to become close to God's absolute infinity and essence. That's the merit, the schut that God has given us, that we can bring sacrifices to Him in His sanctuary. Now when we observe this word sacrifice, korban, we see that its root begins with the very same two letters as the root to call. The whole Chumash is Vayikra, and He called, as we said before. The root in Hebrew of calling is Kuf Resh Aleph, but the root of sacrifice is Kuf Resh Bet. It's exactly the same first two letters. The whole difference is that the third letter, every root in Hebrew has three letters. In calling, the third letter is an Aleph, which is the first letter of the alphabet. And in sacrifice, the third letter is a bet, the second letter of the alphabet. So it's very, very obvious and clear that the concept of sacrifice is the direct sequence of calling. It's kufreish, the same identical two first letters, and the whole difference is that the vayikra, kara, is followed by an aleph, which is the first, means that first there has to be a call. And then the bet is that from the call, a person now can come near. Just even without bringing a sacrifice, when God called Moses, He called Moses to enter the tabernacle, which means to come near to me. He called him to come in. Now there's a law that says that, but in general, when a Jew enters the tabernacle, he can't enter it with empty hands. If they're coming near to Hashem, he has to bring some offering to God. Once more, a sacrifice, to really bring a sacrifice to God, first you have to hear the call. This whole book of Vayikra, of Leviticus, which obviously nobody understands what that word means, Leviticus, but it would be very nice to call the book calling, the book of calling. Because the book of calling, being called, it's like a person is called to a task, to a mission in life. And the first calling that God calls upon us is to come close to Him. Because we can't go out into the world to perform our mission, to be an emissary of God in the external reality, before we first ourselves come close and are ready and willing and actually do sacrifice ourselves to God. So once more, sacrifice is not to die. Sacrifice is with Hashem has given us the substitute, that instead of actually dying, even though we're ready to die for God, but we bring an offering instead, that in our hearts we're bringing ourselves to God. Then we can go out into the world and become emissaries of God to bring other people close. What does it mean to go out into the world? Also for the same sake. Just as nowadays, when you speak of people devoting and dedicating their lives to help other Jews, or even non-Jews recognize the purpose of their creation, what am I here for on earth? So that's called kiruv. It's called bringing close people to Hashem. And that word is sacrifice. It means everybody bringing into the consciousness of everyone this idea of sacrifice. Is to be a sacrifice is to be close, is to be drawn near. But in order to be drawn near, you have to hear first the calling. You have to be called. So actually, when an emissary goes out into the world after he himself has been called and has become drawn near and become a sacrifice to Hashem, then he's called upon, really given a calling in life, which is to go out into the world, he then becomes that very voice of God that enters into him, as it were, and calls upon other souls to also come close to God. So this is the simple relationship between the root of the word for the whole book, which is calling, and the basic content of the book, which is a sacrifice, korban. Now, if we go on to note what what is being here expressed at the very beginning of the book in bringing sacrifices. So after it says that Adam ki akriv mikem korban Hashem, when a man brings a sacrifice from you to be a sacrifice for God, then it says he shall bring, what shall he actually bring? He shall bring from the animal, mina behima. And then after it says from the animal, it goes on to say mina bakar u mina tzom, from cattle and from sheep. The word animal is a general name. It includes all the animals. The first particular animal that is mentioned in the context of bringing sacrifices is bakar. Bakar is cattle. There are different words for oxen or for cows. There's a word for a cow, which is para in Hebrew, and ox is shor. In other places, when it talks about bringing a sacrifice for a cow, it uses one of these words. Here, it uses a word which is not normally used for this type of a sacrifice. It uses the word bakar, which means cattle. That's the best translation. Instead of using the other particular words as shor, ox, or para, which is a cow. Why does it choose this word to be the first particular animal? Because, well, if we look at this word, we see that it's a permutation of the same letters as his korban, sacrifice. Right? The root of sacrifice is kuf resh bet, and the word for cattle is bet kuf resh. It takes that bet, the last letter of the root of sacrifice, and puts it in the front of the permutation, and it becomes bakar. Now, what does the word bakar mean? Besides meaning cattle, the very same root, the very same three letters, also means mourning, boker, and together with mourning, it means the ability to discern or to distinguish. Sometimes it's used in a sense of what the critical or analytic ability of the mind to see the difference, to distinguish between good and evil. That's the deep meaning, or the essential meaning of this word, bakar. What does it have to do with mourning? When the mourning light shines, then a person is able to distinguish, just as we see in the Mishnah, that if you're able to distinguish between different colors, then it's already the time to read Kriyat Shema of the mourning, and so on, because mourning itself means the ability to distinguish. Meaning that there's something about the very first particular sacrifice that's brought, which is this word cattle, which is not the normal word for this species in the context of sacrifices. It's saying that the beginning of drawing near to Hashem is this ability of self-criticism to distinguish in oneself one's good and one's bad, and to be able to reinforce the good, and to be able to rid oneself of the bad. It's like the morning star, we'll call it, beginning to shine in your own heart, in your own consciousness. You can't begin to come close to Hashem and sacrifice yourself if you don't have this first power of the bakar. Now we'll go on to observe something also very, very beautiful, that these same three letters which form the root of sacrifice and also the root of bakar, if you have three different letters, there are six possible permutations. In the whole Hebrew language, there are only seven examples that all six permutations are roots. Each one of the six possibilities of combining the letters are a root in the Hebrew language of the Bible. There are seven such examples in the whole Hebrew language. And this is one of them. That each one of the six possibilities is a word. That the fact that this that this portion begins with such a phenomenon. We're going to see in another few weeks that there's another portion that also emphasizes or points out such a phenomenon. It takes one of the other of the seven examples and emphasizes it. But here we're taking this example of Bet Kufresh or Kufresh Bet. And there's a here an immediate juxtaposition of the root that means sacrifice and the adjoining root that means cattle, with the implication of mourning and differentiation, as we said before. But actually all of the other four possibilities also, they're all roots. So since we have here two explicitly, that is it's a very outstanding phenomenon, obviously the Torah means that now I should think and try to create in my mind, it's called a cycle. The meditation that we're now doing, this is a form of meditation, one of the great early masters of the Kabbalah, Rabbi Abraham Abu Lafia, this is the way that he meditated. He would take a word and go through all of the permutations of the word and try to see the cycle of the images appearing and disappearing, one after the other. Try to experience it all as one flow of divine consciousness, because the letters of the Hebrew alphabet and the words that they form, this is the divine power through which Hashem created the world. So in our case, if we begin with the word to sacrifice, which is kuf resh bet, there's actually an order of how one orders the permutations, how they follow one another in a logical order. The next one is kavar. Now, there's a very, very significant part of this phenomenon of permutations, that whenever I have a full cycle of permutations, there's always at least one, if not more than one, that has a most negative connotation. Would it be by itself? Just because it's a part of a flow, the very fact that it's a part of the flow and you can't separate it from all of the permutations altogether, that reveals its inner positivity, we'll call it. Even though by itself, it would be experienced by itself, it would seem to be very, very negative. So in our case, the very first permutation that follows to sacrifice, kever, means a grave. After kever, the next permutation that follows is resh bet kuf, which is called Egle Marbek. It means a corral. It has to do with cattle, where you take cattle into a corral and you feed them. That's called Marbek, Reish Bet Kuf. The next one is also appears to be very negative. It's Reish Kuf Bet Rikabon. That means to recover, to be spoiled, or to rot, means to rot away. It's obviously related to a grave, because in a grave the body rots away. So to rot is rekev. What follows rekev? The next one in the order is bakar. And bakar is the cattle, or the mourning, or the differentiation. The final one, this is the ultimate one that comes out of the final stage, the final revelation of the sacrifice in this order of the permutations. The final of the sixth one is always the exact reverse order of the first one. So if the first one is kufresh bet, the final one is the opposite order. It's bet resh kuf, which is barak. Barak is a flash of lightning. Barak always represents a new flash of insight. The person receives a barak, it's called barak hamavrika lasecho, that a lightning flash of insight. It's called a eureka experience. appears in one's consciousness. Right, so again, this is a very, very seemingly difficult round or cycle to create in one's meditation, that in order to sacrifice myself, I have to be willing to enter the grave and then to enter the corral and then to rot away and then to turn into a cow, to cattle, but to finally to experience a flash of lightning across my consciousness. It's a new revelation of the unity of Hashem. And with that final flash of lightning, I can then go out into the world, as we said before, and bring the calling to other souls. So once more, the simple teaching of the whole thing is to sacrifice oneself. It's as the Torah says, you have to really be willing to totally sacrifice yourself. Even if you're going to die and rot away in the grave, it's also part of it. But the final purpose and promise that Hashem promises us and wants to give us is the lightning flash of true, new divine revelation. So this is the book and the portion of being called to sacrifice, to come near to Hashem.
You have been listening to a lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg, recorded and presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization, and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org, www.inner.org. In Hebrew, Galinai means open my eyes. These words are from the verse in Psalms, open my eyes, that I may behold the wonders of your Torah. Under the leadership of Rabbi Ginzburg, our goal is to open the world's eyes to the light of the inner dimension of Torah, to discover God, and to connect to Him in all that we do. As we learn from the Baal Shem Tov, spreading this light will hasten the complete and true redemption. We invite you to join the Galinai team and participate with Rabbi Ginzburg in learning, teaching, and spreading the inner dimension of Torah, Kabbalah, and Hasidut. Together, the Galinai team will change the world, bringing God's loving kindness, health, happiness, and true peace to all. For more information about Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg's teachings and how to participate with the Galinai team, visit the Inner Dimension website at www.inner.org, www.inner.org, or email us at inner@inner.org.